This is The Naked Scientist with Ben Fowler and with me, Chris Smith.
If you would like to get in touch with any questions or comments, then you can email Chris at thenakedscientists.com, tweet at Naked Scientists, or find us at thenakedscientist.com/Facebook.
Antarctica is one of the most challenging environments on Earth. But despite of this, there's lots of scientific research that needs to take place in Antarctica to help us to understand the world around us. In a little while, we'll be speaking with Tamsin Gray and Jonathan Shanklin, who both research climate and atmospheric science with the British Antarctic Survey. But before that, we're joined by Carl Tuplin, who's the project manager for the British Antarctic Survey's Halley 6 project, and Peter Ayres from ACOM, who were both involved in engineering the project. So let's begin with Carl. So what's actually the vision for Halley 6? What was needed down in Antarctica? What did you want to achieve?
Well, we're going to lose the old station. The ice shelf's going to carve off, so we're going to lose it. So we knew we needed a new one. Exactly where that carving line was going to be is quite difficult to predict.
So you're literally going to have your old station float away on a lump of ice?
Yes, we've actually demolished it and cleared it now, but we would have done, yes. Exactly where the carving line's going to be was difficult to predict, and during the design life of the new station, there's some big chasms behind it, so it's going to make the ice shelf a little bit more unstable. So one of the visions for the new one is it had to be relocatable. We had to be able to move it, because we don't want to be spending huge sums of money again building another station in 10, 20 years' time. So that was one of the visions. A couple of the other factors is we wanted something that was going to be stimulating for the scientists to work in. Previous stations, nice, square, boxy, very good. Engineering point of view, not necessarily the most stimulating place to live or work. So again, we got architects involved to try and produce a better place to live and to work. Further, there's a lot of effort needed to survive in the Antarctic, a lot of work. Because the main aim is to do the science there, we're trying to reduce the amount of effort to survive to make it easier to live there.
Were you at the previous station, Tamsin?
Yeah, that's right.
What's it actually like when people just think, oh, I'll nip off down to Antarctica. What's actually involved in being down there? What's it like?
Day-to-day life's quite different from back here. So to get all the water to drink...
Well, it's warmer, you mean? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it's summer down there right now, but not quite. So, you know, just for washing and showering and things, we had to go outside and shovel snow in a big team for about an hour every day into a hole to melt. Although now with the new station, they've got machines doing a lot of that work for them. So just every day, you know, you walk to work. Sometimes I could fall over 7 times in big snowdrifts because there's a blizzard going on and I could barely see my hand in front of my face. So there's just all sorts of challenges that you wouldn't really think about with life back here.
Have you sorted those challenges out, Carl?
Yes. For instance, on the water side, where it used to be people shoveling snow into what we call a melt tank, to a long shaft down to a big kettle under the ice. Now we have modified shipping containers with large tanks in and heating grills at the bottom. And you can open the doors on the lid of the container and just bulldoze snow in. So it makes it a lot easier and a lot simpler, and you can melt a lot more water.
And then you're spending time doing research, not just shoveling.
So you're spending more time. There's less people required to do that sort of work. So you're spending the money on science rather than on the station support.
Peter, from ACOM, the engineers behind this project, what's actually involved in building something like this as far away and in those sort of exigent extremes that we get in Antarctica?
Halley 6 is without doubt the most challenging building we have ever been involved in designing. Just starting with the climate in Antarctica, it's incredibly cold. It goes down to minus 56 degrees centigrade on the site, over 100 mile an hour winds, 106 days of continuous darkness in the winter. Just building in cold climates in itself is a very, very challenging thing to do. But Halley was special even by Antarctic standards. It is the world's first fully relocatable research base. So we had to design a building that was fleet of foot, if you like, that was able to be moved, but also was robust enough to survive the incredibly challenging environment. And I guess the most challenging thing of all, in fact, was the logistics, the supply chain, how we would bring the materials to Antarctica to build the base.
It's not just any old materials either, is it? Because, I mean, as someone said to me the other day and really made me think, you can't weld metal in Antarctica in the same way as you could just knock a few bits of metal together in a warmer place?
Well, there are lots of things you wouldn't want to do in Antarctica because you're constantly working in sub-zero temperatures. So that means you have to be generally in pretty warm clothes with thick gloves and things like that. So even things like bolting, you want bolts that are big enough that you can handle them with gloves, and you want components that can be clipped together. But probably the most overwhelming constraint of all is that because of the short summer season when people can generally work there in construction, you only have about 12 weeks within which you can actually build anything. And so that would say prefabrication. You would immediately think, let's prefabricate things and just ship them in. But there's another constraint, which is that because the base is built on a floating ice shelf, everything has to be delivered by ship, and it has to be towed across very fragile frozen sea ice. And so that constraint says that you have to limit the size of every component you take to Antarctica. So really the whole design to some degree was dictated by those two key constraints, that on the one hand you want things to be as big and prefabricated as possible. On the other hand, everything has to be small enough to be shipped across the sea ice. And when you put those two constraints together, that's effectively the starting point for how we conceptualise the design.
So, Carl, do you say to Peter, this is what we want, and then he says, this is what I can do? I mean, how does it work?
No, it's the other way around, really. This is Halley 6, so we built five stations before. For Halley 6, what we wanted was to go out to the marketplace and see what the best of the marketplace could actually do, the engineers, the architects, and the construction teams, and see what they could come up with. So what we did, we presented them with the problems, because there's a lot to understand and take in all in one go. So what I actually did was launch a multi-stage design competition, and started that competition by showing the teams the problems of the Antarctic and what they had to overcome, and then said, go away and come up with your ideas of what would you design? Now, we didn't necessarily expect those designs to work, but we wanted to see what ideas were out there to overcome the problems. And there were six teams did that. Then we narrowed it down to three of those teams, the ones we thought had the most potential, the designs that had the most potential to take forward. And we put a BAS team with each one of them. So the BAS team had the Antarctic knowledge, and we put a contractor with each team as well. So you had three teams running, and in each team you had the designers had the design concepts and impetus. You had BAS, who had the Antarctic and logistics knowledge, and you had the contractor who had the build and the procurement knowledge. And that way we then had three designs in the competition running together to try and come up with the best one.
And that was you, Peter. So how did you actually deliver this? What's the process for getting this new station erected in Antarctica? What did you actually do?
Well, as I said before, one of the key things was to prefabricate as much as possible. When we originally turned up on the ice with a great big Russian chartered icebreaker ship, we had steel frames which form the basis of our modular building. So the building is in fact made up of a series of eight pod buildings, if you like. They're pretty big. They weigh in excess of 100 tons each. Each of them is based on a steel frame, which is prefabricated, loaded onto the ship, dropped off on the ice on special skis that are made just for the transit and towed to the site. And from there on, all of the different components are kind of modularized prefabricated components that, as far as possible, clip together to make the base. So the pods are founded on giant hydraulic legs, which allow the base to climb mechanically out of the snow every year. They're founded on huge skis, which are the same technology as the skis you use on sledges, but much, much bigger, so that the buildings can be moved. And then we bring all of the rooms that form the base, are prefabricated modular bedrooms and plant rooms, toilets, etc. Those get loaded on top of the steel frames. And then we developed a very innovative fibre-reinforced plastic composite cladding system, which provided the final resistance to the weather, which was the very well-sealed and thermally insulated enclosure to keep everybody safe and sound inside.
Which is good to hear. And dare I ask the price tag?
Are we going to talk about price, Carl?
Yeah.
Yes.
The actual construction contract is just under 26 million, 25.8, 25.9 million.
Actually, I thought it was going to be
that's,
more.
That's the construction like that. Contract, yeah. And the total project, touch under 50 million.
Peter's wage bill?
That's add his bonus on and we'll... But yeah, just under 50 million is the total price tag. That's all the logistics and everything to make it happen.